Josh, growing spiritually. I mean, there's some amazing growth in the spiritual realm.
The product of a lot of prayers from, years ago, and that God is answering those prayers. Seeing Joshua just grow spiritually, and seeing the how God is working in his life, it's just a joy to me.
Welcome to There Is Hope. Any advice or counsel given is provided for informational purposes only. Your host for There Is Hope, Richard Dover.
Welcome to our podcast. Today is a special day because I am going to be interviewing my son Joshua, and I'm going to be interviewing my wife Carmi, and we're going to be talking about we don't know what. Is we just decided to ad lib this and go where we go, and we'll find out where it takes us. And so I'll get started and say, Joshua, you're living in our house with me and Carmi now, right?
Yep.
So you've been here, what, 6 weeks?
I think it's six or seven.
So Josh is living with Carmi and I, and Carmi, you're living with me, right?
Yes.
And now you're living with me and Josh, yeah, right? To get started in our conversation, I'm going to go with you first, Carmi. We're going to do another interview with just me and you, and so we'll probably cover some of the stuff. But in your mind, when we moved from Washington State to Arkansas, did you ever think in your mind that Josh would be living in our house?
I never thought of that, but it happened.
It happened. Josh, a year and a half ago, did you think you'd ever be living in our house?
I told people you could have paid me or bet me $1 billion and I would have laughed at you.
I think you're serious about you weren't going to live, ever live in with us. So what I want to find out is I want to find out from Joshua and I want to find out from Carmi what it's like. What has it been? Been here 6 weeks. Carmi, I'll start with you. What is it like having Josh here? You know, we don't have any children with me and you. We have been married. We're going to be celebrating 17 years. We've never had anyone living in our house other than when we lived in sober houses. We had individuals living upstairs or downstairs. But we've never had anybody living in the house, and all of a sudden somebody's living in the house.
We lost our privacy, two of us. You know, now, of course, I'm aware that there's somebody in the house. So, I don't know, maybe not really big of a deal, because again, we were living in the sober house or we were with somebody else, although they were not entirely in the same room or in same
right.
living room.
So they lived upstairs or we lived downstairs.
So that's the difference. It's like there's another family member. It's, how I see it, just an additional family member.
Is it a bad thing to you?
Not really.
Joshua, how about for you?
How has it been?
How's it been to be living here in the house? Do you feel like you're an intruder?
I did at first. At first it was very hard for me. Yeah, just walking on eggshells all the time because I just felt like I wasn't sure if I would be accepted. I wasn't sure if, Carmi would actually like me or not. And any roommate is something you got to get used to, let alone a family member you haven't talked to in years. And so there was some apprehension on some of the old so-called under the water or under the bridge stuff popping up. And one big conversation, and after that it's been pretty easy aside from physically having limitations and stuff. I mean, I still am frustrated I don't get to take a shower every day, but that's not, it's not because you guys won't let me, it's because my body won't let me. It's too painful. But overall, I've climatized, I guess. I don't know what you want to call it. I've gotten used to it, and the only thing I still have a hard time with is there's no mountains in the background or to go to, so to speak. But I'm very happy that the leaves came because it changed the whole state. I mean, it looked so different when I first got here.
Yeah, when you got here, it was the beginning, end of winter, beginning of spring. And
I think it was called stick season.
Yeah, I think that'd be right about stick season.
Stick
so
or twig season.
We kept telling you, how many trees and beautiful it is, but you weren't seeing any of that. And then all of a sudden, when all the leaves came, it was totally different, huh?
It was like within a 24-hour period, it was like the whole scenery changed. Yeah, it's gorgeous. And the only thing that's sad is when I first got here, within the first 2 weeks, there was some really pretty flowering that was happening, but some of those were trees that once they turn green and leaves, the flowers disappear and they're not there till next year.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But overall, it's been pretty good change, and been a bit rough physically, just nothing has to do with either of you, just the theft that happened kind of really threw a wrench in things, and so it's been overall pretty easy after that conversation. I think that conversation it was like a eye-opening, kind of like get my mind right, get my understanding of what boundaries, limits, how to go about day-to-day with everybody.
So, Carmi, in that conversation, I say, I don't know if you call it a conversation, it wasn't a conversation at first. I was angry as can be with Josh, and then he was angry at me. You're uncomfortable with both of us being angry at each other. You're worried of what's going to happen next, right?
Yeah.
What was your thoughts? I mean, what was you afraid of?
I said, oh my God, what will this turn into? I kind of like, will this turn into a mess with them being enemies or something? I'm in the middle. So that was, what was playing in my mind.
What was in your mind that it ended up being Joshua pack his bags and we don't talk for another 5 years?
Sort of.
He's going to pack his bags or I'm going to pack his bags.
Kind of sort of, what was in my mind. There were so many things, and one of those, I said, will he end up really moving out, or you're going to be mad? And
this was pretty early on.
Early on.
Yeah.
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 It was early on.
And without getting into all the details, it was just more of me feeling like Josh wasn't realizing that at the end of the day, it is our house, and him at the same time feeling like, we told him that, he can make this his home and do whatever. And so in the end of the day, we had discussion and it worked out good. And like he said, he understands kind of the boundaries. And, I'm at a place to say, at the same time, we want him to feel this is home. And so he has a room that's his home. It's home. He's made his room home. And really for me, it was, what would it be like to be Josh and to be in his situation? Come back to living with your dad and his wife, and they're in their 60s, what all that would be like? And so that really got me kind of thinking to be able to give, grace and mercy and understanding and stuff. And Carmi, you have a lot of family members, and you have older, younger, and, you guys live together, and it's not a big deal, right? In the Filipino culture, it would be no big deal. I mean, to this day, there's...
Yeah, and it's way different in a Filipino culture because extended families live together under one roof. We have accepted that's just the way of life over there, especially,
And financially, that's part of it, right?
Yeah, financially, and not able to, make his own home and stuff. So, yeah, grandmas, grandpas, or uncles and aunties living together with, one family. And... not a big deal, but of course, there's gonna be like conflicts from time to time out of it.
Right.
It's just family conflicts, and it was just natural, many people living together under one roof.
So for me, it's been overall very easy for us to be living together. I actually like it in the sense that doing things together, and I will say the hard thing for me is knowing that you, Josh, there's things you want to do that you can't do. And so I'm working outside and doing stuff by myself, which would be very helpful if I have somebody else to help me, but you can't help me. You wanted to help. How has that part been? When you see me building something or, you know, working on something and you're not able to really do it, how do you deal with that?
Not very well. It's very frustrating. It's beyond frustrating. It's about like taking the limbs down off the tree or something, having to just watch. But at the same time, I can't really get on a ladder right now, and I'd end up on the ground with a ladder on top of me. So.
And you want to get on the ladder with the chainsaw, the extension ladder, climbing up on the biggest branch so that you can chainsaw up above that branch so that when it's easier to fall the tree, right? That's what you want to do,
yep.
Right? And you're standing there after I cut something down, you're cutting a little limb and giving all your effort with the saw trying to cut a little limb. And
I got to help. I made them smaller.
Yeah. And then I'm saying, Josh, don't even bother with that. It don't matter. And then you're saying to me, I got to do something. Right?
I don't want to feel useless.
Yeah, I don't want to feel useless. And I don't want you to get hurt. So it's that kind of that catch 22 situation. Carmi, as you've seen, Josh, he is growing spiritually. I mean, there's some amazing growth in the spiritual realm. And do you think it's real, what you see going on with him?
I think it's real. And I think it's real, and it's already the kind of like the product of a lot of prayers from, you know, years ago, and that God is answering those prayers. Seeing Joshua just you know, grow spiritually, and seeing how God is working in his life, it's just a joy to me, knowing how he really wants to do things physically too, but, you know, having all those pains, after all, you know, it grieves me, and it pains me to see that. It hurts me so much to see that situation as well. And again, it's has always our been our prayer, you know, for God's continuous healing in his body so that he can do, you know, he can do the things that he wants and he loves doing. At the same time, I want to see him to helping, because at this point he wants and he likes to help you with the things that you've mentioned earlier. He wants to help you. He really wants to help you. But at the same time, I said, no, don't do that, because I'm so scared. What if he goes back to square one? And that would be, you know, very, very much harder. You know, when it's the kind of like quote unquote relapse thing,
right,
that, you know, going back. And so we don't want that to happen. And many times I'm really scared whenever he tries to do something. And at the back of my mind, now you will pay the consequences, because, you know, you will hurt yourself, or, you know, the pain is there and you will cause your body to, you know, have more pain. And so it just grieves me and hurts me as well, seeing that, you know, struggle that he has.
He's in pain right now as we do the interview. You know that?
Yeah, he was in pain. We were in church, and he was saying that his medicines lasted only like up to 7 o'clock, and, you know, after that, kind of like it didn't work anymore. He was in pain even when we went to Bob. He was already hurting, and so he has to say, Bob, I'm sorry, we have to leave, and I really, you know, I'm really hurting. So I know that.
Yeah. So, Josh, why are you doing this interview? Why do you do things when you hurt?
Because I want to live my life. I don't want the pain to stop me from living life. It's catch 22, though, because if I do anything at all, it hurts. But if I don't do anything, I'm still going to hurt. I'm just going to not have done anything. So I can't imagine God kept me here to do nothing.
So when you look at it, again, it's the catch 22 situation. But if you just say, well, I don't want to feel the extra pain, so I'm not going to do anything, I'm just going to lay around, knowing your background, knowing your history, knowing your struggles, what do you think would happen if you just said, well, you know what, when it doesn't hurt anymore, when I don't feel as much pain, then I'll do things? What do you think would happen to you?
6 feet under the dirt.
You really think that, don't you?
No, I know it. I don't think it. I know that. Absolute positive.
And Carmi, do you understand that part with Josh, that as he's doing things and you get worried that, oh, he's going to hurt himself, he's working too hard, and kind of get frustrated at him at times because, but you don't need to do that. I mean,
yeah.
But do you understand?
I'm so worried that, you know, as he does things, I said, oh my goodness, he's gonna, you know, do more damage to his body. But the way I understand him is saying, it's all, you know, it's better to do something that will hurt him rather than do nothing, but still would hurt him doing nothing, but the hurt is more,
right,
compared to the hurt or pain that he's doing. Yeah, I don't understand that, but I don't know if I can comprehend, you know, that.
Well, I think you can comprehend that because we've been married for 17 years, and I've seen you many times in pain. I mean, you've dealt with you know, the acid reflux pain that you've had. You've dealt with the other issues, and I've seen you do stuff when you've been in pain.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I don't know if it was Josh or some other friend I was telling about that I said, I have learned to live the pain, or, you know, that stomach trouble with acid reflux. I have learned to live with it for years and years and years, that I don't complain anymore. But it doesn't mean that, you know, I don't feel those pains. I do feel from time to time, but it's kind of like, oh, it's just part of me.
And your wrist causes you problems at times, right? It seems to never go away. The arthritis in your fingers can be very painful. And you work at a bank where you're using your fingers all the time. So does that help you to kind of understand where he's at?
Yeah, I think I'd better, because if I do something, it hurts. If I do nothing, it hurts. I'd rather do something. I think that is, you know, more kind of like accurate.
But the difference is you won't hurt yourself in the way he could hurt himself, for example.
Oh, no, it's different.
Yeah.
With him, it's different because he has so many complications in his body. It's not just one broken, you know, part of the body. It has, you know, it's several of them in several areas of his body. So that's more dangerous even there. That's why I'm so concerned and I'm scared whenever he does something. It's like, I have to watch him sometimes. I think I need to watch him while he doesn't say, hey, don't do that. I don't know.
Josh, in the midst of being here with Carmi and I, do you see a difference in our relationship than what you saw in the past in my previous marriages?
Oh, well, that's night and day. If you're talking about past marriages. With night and day difference.
Were you surprised or not?
Not really, just because I knew you were changed. Just the way you talked on the phone, and then we spent 1 month?
Two months,
I think, together in Oregon before coming. So I knew you were completely different. So I figured it would be completely different with Carmi too.
Yeah, just so everybody knows we're being honest, I can still be a jerk, I can still be mean, I can still be selfish. I don't know if Carmi would say that she can ever be mean or selfish or not.
Oh, I will. There's no hiding. Sometimes I hide it, but it shows. So,
so I mean, we're not perfect people. I mean, we have our challenges and everything else, but I will say the difference for me is I learned God's love for me, and when I learned how much and understood his love, not in my head but in my heart, of knowing his mercy, his love, His grace, all that stuff, it really changed my perspective and how I do life and everything else. And my biggest problem was hating myself. And if you hate yourself, it's never good for people that are around you. And I've learned to love the guy that God loves, but not necessarily love the things that I do. And so that's changed how I relate to a lot of different things. So, yeah, God's done a work in me. Carmi, in the midst of all this, with Josh living with us, and we, you know, talk about that we lost some of our privacy. I mean, we actually were spoiled, to be quite honest, because we spent years in our marriage of people being around us all the time. We really never really had our own place. It wasn't until we moved here to Arkansas and bought a house and all that that we had our own place.
You say you're spoiled. No, you're not spoiled. You're living in life how it normally is.
I guess that's...
Yeah. I just understood it just now when you said it.
I guess that's true, yes. We're living a normal life and not the life that we had before. And that's not being spoiled. That's actually just living life. But Carmi and I are giving people, so we kind of feel like we're being self-centered when we are taking care of ourselves, because we devoted so many years of helping anybody and everybody. And so it's been different for us. But in the midst of it, I've been thinking, Carmi, I know you get lonely at times because you're used to family. You know, you've been used to living with your family, stuff like that. We have holidays and people have their kids and their grandkids and all that kind of stuff, and it's me and you. So does it kind of feel different for you in having, quote, a family member in the house and doing different things? Or, you know, we go to the store, it's not just me and you, it could be Josh with us or whatever. I mean, how does that all feel to you?
Well, I like it that way. It's like, kind of like the more the merrier. So there's one more person and varied interest. And so when he says this one, then you get to learn or experience whatever the other person likes. And so rather than sometimes it's a little bit boring when it's only the two, you know.
Yeah.
And then rather than when there's another person that goes, yeah, it's in a way, it's still better. So, but we still have privacy and stuff. It doesn't affect, actually.
Right.
It's just,
except for you have to shop slower because you have to wait for that.
Yeah, cart. That part frustrates me because I wanted
so
to run and I look back. Oh, there's Josh. Wait a minute.
Yeah, we're both of us. When you know, we're the get the job done type of thing, because for years we didn't have time. I mean, we didn't have spare time in the midst of ministry and all that we did. And so that's kind of how we've been, right? We go and do what we got to do, and that's it. And then, you know, with Josh, oh my goodness, come on, really? How much longer is it going to...
I feel like I could get up and walk faster with my cane than those stupid things.
Well, as we wrap up our conversation, I mean, we're just talking like family. We're just talking and sharing, and we had no agenda, no script, anything like that. I don't know if anything we share helps anybody listening at all. Any last comments that either of you want to make?
I learned it's very hard to find out what Carmi thinks about an orange.
So there's a joke between me and Josh that Carmi's a little bit different. And
very different.
He's figured that out. It's no longer a joke. He knows it. And I was having a conversation. I don't remember the conversation it was, but it was a simple question. And
I just wanted to know if she thought the oranges tasted good, because
the orange, so I have to tell it and make sure that they understood.
It took about 5 minutes for me to find out she thought the oranges were good.
Just imagine how arguments and disagreements and fights within the family goes on with just the simple thing.
Yeah,
miscommunication.
Yeah, communication. And so if you're not patient to understand the other person, then that's going to be, you know, always a, there's fire in the house.
And I think you've seen, Josh, you know, Carmi's not a, isn't dumb. She's not a dumb person and stuff. But because of a different culture, because of, you know, what I call common sense stuff, but you taught me, Josh, living with you, I had to learn to be patient with your limitations, all your limitations, and having to serve on you, wait on you, do this, that, and everything else. It really taught me patience. And when I come back here, Carmi, do you see me more patient? Do you see me more calm?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. because out of it, you know, I've tried to be with you because, you know, my frustration with you is because you don't get things, you know. Again, there's culture barriers. There's all those different things. And I forget about that stuff. I forget that, you know, English is your second language. And I would never think it's your second language. So in the midst of it, I would say that I have to, I've learned that with you, I have to be more patient because you don't get things at times. And the reason I know that, because then Josh and I talk, and he realizes, Carmi, don't get that. How do you feel about that whole area? I mean, that's been a hard one with you in our marriage.
Yeah, sometimes I get hurt. Sometimes I let it go. I've learned to let it go. I said, whatever.
Because I'm expecting that you should understand something when there's no way you'd understand it, right?
Yeah, there are things I really don't understand until you explain to me. And so, but I'm not sometimes a person that says, could you explain to me first what you mean by that?
Well, even, I think, Dad, you and I had a conversation in Oregon that you'll just start talking as if someone knows what you're talking about. Like, you've already had this conversation in your head or something, and then you ask a question, and I have no clue what you're even talking
about. Yeah, Carmi's shaking her head up and down. I mean, her head is bouncing.
Yes,
It's as if I'm supposed to have a clue what you were even thinking. But in your head, it's as if we just had a 10-minute conversation, and I'm just now joining.
I agree.
That's been the biggest challenge, hasn't it?
I agree, yeah. Because, you know, there's 10,000 things in his mind going on. And then he comes to me and says something. It's totally foreign or, you know, that's the first time I heard you about it. What's that all about?
It's foreign for me and I speak English.
And so what he doesn't know is his mind is filled up with 10,000 things. And then he doesn't know that, you know, he's continuing in his mind and he thinks that I have been part of all those thoughts.
Yep.
And then
what is your opinion on that? And you're like, what are you talking about?
And so I can be talking.
I could say, could you tell me in Tagalog?
So I could be talking to you about something and another thought comes to my mind and I'll bounce over to that.
And then you get frustrated when I don't answer you. I don't get it.
Yep.
Yes, how can I get it? I don't know it.
So you both of you are ganging up on me to say the issue is me. Is that right?
Not every time, but, you know, there are times.
Yeah, maybe 10% of the time and 9% of the time you just don't know what's going on.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's funny because I realized that. So, I mean, again, this has helped for me and Carmi because it would frustrate me that, like, don't you get it? How come you don't know what I'm talking about? I mean, I just talked about it 3 minutes ago, so.
You were talking to the wall at that point, and now I just came in the room.
And so, it very frustrating to me at times, extremely frustrating to Carmi. So then, I'm with Josh, and I got the same problem with him. I bring up something, and he's saying, hold on, you know, what are you talking about? And I'm thinking, well, it's because he's got brain damage. It's because he's had a motorcycle crash. It's because he just came back to life. And so the issue is him. So I got to be patient with him and slow down you know, this, that, and everything else. And then all of a sudden, there was a realization that as he asked questions, I realized I didn't give him all the data as I'm talking. Is that right, Carmi?
Exactly.
And so then what's happened is when we came back from Oregon back here, I've really tried to work on that and try to make things easier for Carmi and to be more patient with her and realize that maybe there is a lot of conversations I have in my head that nobody else knows about.
Maybe you have a private friend over there, one that we don't know. You're a zippy.
So then I wonder how that, I mean, obviously that's followed me all my life and how many times I've been frustrated that people aren't getting it when they don't have all the data that I have. I'm still convinced that it's just a lot of people are not very smart and it has nothing to do with me, but I think it probably has something to do with
okay,
me.
Okay, we'll give you that point since you're the host.
Well, as we end here, again, I don't know if anything we shared is helpful or not, but I just wanted us to be real, to have a night that we're real, that the three of us just talk and not have any preparation and just kind of cover some areas and to let our listeners know that some people just think it's amazing what's gone on with me and Josh and the reconciliation. It's amazing, you know, what's happening with Josh and his body and the fact that he's alive and all that stuff. But there has to be a realization that everything isn't always perfect and that there is the reality. We live in a broken, fallen world and there's consequences from motorcycle crashes and having not been together for years. And so that there can be misunderstandings, there can be communication problems, that Josh has a lot of pain he has to deal with. It is not easy to deal with him having that pain. So there's a lot of stuff that goes on. It isn't like we just suddenly became that perfect family after the motorcycle crash. It's been something that God has been working on us and trying to change us and shape us. And I just want to say that overall, I think it's been a very good thing with Josh being with us. And it's been fun having him here. And it is kind of nice to have somebody else in the house and not just me and Carmi. And
yeah.
I mean, we love each other. We have a lot of fun together, but it's actually nice to have somebody else to interact with, right?
Yes.
Yeah, very, very much so. All right. Well, thank you for listening to our show. We want you to know that if God can restore Josh and I's relationship, then he can bring restoration in whatever relationship that's broken in your life. Just keep on praying. And, you know, Carmi and I are going to be doing a show just on the how much prayer and stand in the gap for Joshua and just how God has worked and moved in the midst of several years that we've been praying for him. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to There Is Hope, and any advice or counsel given was provided for informational purposes only.